for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the Friday afternoon, Ladies 115 Deliverance and Teaching Service, April the 21st, 2011. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service, teaching on Breaking the Curse of the Woman.
Well, let me pray before we start. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you for dominion. I thank you for authority. I thank you that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy. And right now I exercise that power. And I bind every spirit of witchcraft, every spirit of the wizard, the warlock, the witch doctor. I send out the warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against this meeting, against this campground, against the people who live here, work here, visit here, speak here, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask you to send ministering angels right now, your Holy Spirit, ministering angels and warring angels, and angels of deliverance, Lord, to deliver us from whatever we need deliverance from today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking this morning that the very first camp that I came here to was the Passover camp. And that was in 2000, well, the first camp that I came to teach, 2004. And, you know, in the church I grew up in, we called it Easter. But I thought Passover happened a week before, so I happened to come a week before camp. So I got here and there was nobody here. I had driven from Jasper, Texas, 5.5 hours, and got here and there was nobody here. So I went down to the nearest payphone and called my husband, and I said, I think I'm here on the wrong weekend. So I turned around and went back home the next day. We spent the night in a hotel. I had my prayer partner with me, so we just spent the night at the Super 8 and drove back home and came back the next week. And I didn't tell him that for a while. It was kind of embarrassing. But I love the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because without that, we would be doomed. And today, I want to talk to you as women and young women, younger women, about some things that God has revealed to me since I've become a born-again Christian that I did not know before. And this still can sometimes sound like something foreign and like, well, I don't know about all that. But, you know, when I got saved and I started reading the Bible, I believed it. And because I believed it, I have experienced some really miraculous things. And so I want to just talk about some of those things and bring the knowledge of that into your life so that we don't have to live out the path that the world has set for us. Because without knowing these things, that's what we do. We just do what has always been done. Talking about the curse of the woman. The curse of the woman. Let's look at Genesis 3:16. This is really, actually, as women, we have felt cursed. It has stood in the way of women having a real relationship with their Heavenly Father, because we don't understand these things, and so we get offended by them or wounded by them, and so we have this preconceived idea about who this God is. And he's so much better than what some of us come into. Even before we're saved, we hear about this God and the things of God, and we don't have an understanding or relationship with him, and so we judge him wrongly. So actually, the woman wasn't the only one who received a curse. The serpent received a curse. The man received a curse, the woman received a curse, and the earth received a curse. Okay, so But since we're women, we're going to be talking about women's issues, and so I want to address that part of it. Let's look at verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, the woman, this has made me wonder, as women have had baby after baby after baby after baby, you know, I've wondered why would we be created to have or have the ability to have a baby after every baby? You know, we have a baby, and then, like with myself, I had a baby, and by the time that baby was 6 months old, I was 3 months pregnant and didn't even know it because I was breastfeeding, and so you don't have your cycle, and I didn't even know I was pregnant. And then I found out I was pregnant, so I had two babies in a year, which is hard on a woman. It was, you know, the physical part of it was a lot easier than the mental, emotional part of it for myself. And then in another year, I had another baby. So I had three babies in 3 years. Okay, so I saw one time in this that part of that curse was, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. So we really don't know how things would have been had the fall never taken place. Wouldn't it be wonderful to read about 6 or 7 books of the Bible to see how things would have been had the fall not taken place? It would have been perfection. But we don't even get, you know, 3 chapters into this, and already all the rest of this is dealing with what happened right here. So we don't know how it would have been. But seeing that our childbirth and sorrow would be multiplied, I believe that it was never God's perfect will for babies to come like that. I believe he had them, you know, he was going to, maybe we only had 2 eggs. You know, I don't know. But anyway, when I was a very young Christian, I had only been saved about, 23, 24, 25, about 3 years when I was pregnant with my first baby. And I could not wait to have a baby. I always loved babies all my life. I was the baby in my family. So there were no little ones for me to baby, carry around on my hip and things. So I used to have dreams that we would find a baby on our doorstep. And that was a dream for me, to find a baby that I could, you know, have a baby. My brother used to get really worried, you know, when I would desire this baby. He says, Mom, of course he was 5 years older than I was, have you explained things to Carla? I mean, you better talk to her. She really wants a baby. But anyway, so now I was married and I was pregnant with my first baby, and I just could not wait for that baby to get there. However, there was the birthing experience before I could hold that little baby. And I was a person who did not like pain. Yeah, I was an adult and I still cried if I got a shot. Now, we're talking about someone having a baby here. We all know what has to happen in order to have a baby. And when I would think about that, I wasn't looking too forward to it. All I had seen was these movies on TV when they're holding the headboard and screaming and everything. And I was like, oh, I'm never having a baby. But, you know, when you get married, you want to have a baby. But you still have to go through that birthing process. So one day, and when I got saved, I began to read the Bible. I mean, I just loved reading the Bible. So I had read the whole Bible. Did I know it all? No. But, you know, the Word says that if you read it, the Holy Ghost will bring it to your remembrance when you have need of it. And I can tell you that that's true. So I was sitting in my recliner one afternoon, resting, and I was probably about 7 months pregnant, and every time I would get still, that little baby would start doing flops and flips in my stomach, and it was that way even after he was born. When I needed to rest, he was flipping and flopping all over the house. But so I was thinking about it. I was feeling it and just couldn't wait to hold it. And then I got to thinking about that birthing process and why I was going to have pain because of what Adam and Eve did. And it just, you know, made me kind of mad at Eve. And I said to God, when I get to heaven, I am going to punch her in the nose. And God said to me, really? What would you have done had you been in Eve's shoes? And I quickly had to repent, knowing that I would have eaten the apple. In fact, we all would have, probably. But I had to ask God to forgive me. And then the question was, okay, Lord, I can't blame Eve. Well, who can I blame for all this pain? And what do I do with all of this pain? Well, then another scripture came to me. And it was, let's see where that was, Galatians 3:13. Now, I couldn't have told you where it was in the Bible at that time. But I knew what the scripture was. I just didn't know where it was. And I'm going to read that to you. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So let me think about this. I'm going to have childbirth pain because of the curse that came on woman in the fall. And yet it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He became the curse for us. He redeemed us from that. And that word redeemed means paid the ransom for. Rescued, canceled, as if paid in full. So the fall that Eve and Adam did in the garden, the sin that they committed, brought a curse on us, but Christ came and became the curse so that we could be redeemed from the curse. Okay, so now I'm thinking, okay, Jesus died on the cross, and he took that curse, therefore, I should not have that pain. If the curse has been canceled, then that means I don't have to have pain in childbirth. Now, we all know what has to happen in childbirth, so that seems kind of miraculous, doesn't it, that you could have a baby with no pain? But that's exactly what happened to me. As a baby Christian, it became so real to me that he became the curse and took the curse for me. So it's like, well, he suffered my childbirth pains on the cross. And I had three babies with no pain. It was miraculous. So I'm here to tell you that which you can believe in the Word of God opens doors for miracles to take place. So here I had these three babies with no pain. Now, a little later in my life, I began to experience PMS. Y'all know what that is? Premenstrual syndrome. Before your cycle, you get bloated, and it makes you fussy, and you have these crazy cravings, and you're hard to live with. You become a different person. And I remembered, now wait a minute. That's got to be part of the curse that came on woman, because we were not created that way. God doesn't want us to be that way. So I began to appropriate this same thing. So as I've gotten older, you know, menopause, and the world tells you that, well, when you get a certain age, this is going to happen. And, you know, like older people will tell me, my father-in-law in particular, when he goes to Walmart, he comes in our office. We have a business in Jasper, and he'll visit us and bring us candy or something in a Walmart bag. And one day he brought me this bag, and it had like Lifesaver mints and things in it. But down at the bottom of the bag was some Preparation H. And I took it out, and I said, hey, did you buy this for us, or did you need this? And he said, oh, I need that. He said, but you'll need it someday. But now let me tell you, this is important information, because as Christians, we need to be very careful about what we let people tell us is going to happen in our lives. Because if we receive that, then it will, because that is the way of the world. So, you know, I was quick to tell him, no, I'm not going to need that when I get old. He said, oh, yes, you will too. I said, I will not, in Jesus' name. I said, my plumbing works perfectly. So, now, I started out by thanking God for dominion. Now, let me share with you that scripture. Because even though we hear this scripture, we don't really understand what it means. It is Genesis 1, verse 26, that says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. All the earth. That's a big domain to have dominion over. And over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So one day I'm driving down the road, not too long ago. I'm really just coming into dominion about 8 years ago. And we live out in the woods. We live on a dirt road that's very narrow. The trees are real close to the sides of the road. And things were always darting out of the woods that would make me, you know. And so one day this big bird, I don't know what kind of bird it was, but I was driving down the road, and it flew out, and I just closed my eyes and squeezed the steering wheel because I just knew I was going to hit this bird. We had already had one windshield broken that way. And so, you know, there wasn't time enough to stop. It happened suddenly. And so I just did like that, and the bird didn't hit. And so out of my mouth came, well, I said, dadgummit. Dadgummit, I take dominion over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth, and in Jesus' name I command it to stay out of my roadway. Now, see, I hadn't practiced that scripture, but again, the Holy Ghost will bring it to you when you have need of it. And I want you to know that every day when I get in the car, I pray that. Every trip I take, I pray that prayer. And I also add supernatural mechanical and physical preservation to my automobile. Because I used to break down. You know, we've never driven a brand new car. We always have nice used cars. But no matter where I would go, and now that I've learned to take dominion over the enemy, that doesn't happen anymore either. But I'm not kidding you. Every time we would go to take a trip, we would be broken down on the side of the road. We would always be like the needy people, you know. And thank God he put people there to take care of us when we had those needs. I don't slight that. I'm thankful to God that every time we were broken down. But then I learned that there is a more excellent way to live, and that is to not break down. And let me tell you how supernatural that prayer is. My husband has a little 150 Cessna airplane. It's like you can buy one for about the price of a not even very expensive used car. So people go, oh, y'all have an airplane? Well, yes, but it's not what you're thinking. But anyway, It's a 1962 classic, straight-tail. I'm repeating my husband's words. It's a straight-tail Cessna 150. So when we fly into any place, the people, like the guys in the tower, the air controllers, they're all making bets as to what kind of airplane it is. And then finally they'll call Mike and say, "What kind of plane are you flying? What is that? We're up here having an argument." And so I didn't know that it was anything, you know, unusual. But a 1962 airplane is an old airplane. And so the motor in it, the FAA, I think that's the right letters, after so many hours on an airplane, you have to replace the motor. So when he bought the airplane, there was a couple of years left on that motor. And when we took it, like, you know, you take your car to be inspected, you have to do the same thing on an airplane. But on an airplane, they take the motor apart and put it back together again. That's, I mean, they're very careful with airplanes. So the mechanic that always works on the plane said, "Okay, the next time we do this, we're going to have to replace this motor." Well, they're expensive, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, dear. You know, we may have that plane sitting around for a while. But we would take it in the next year, and the guy would say, "You know, the compression on this motor is just like when you bought it." And then the next year we took it, he said, "I can't believe the compression on this motor is still just like the day you bought it." And that's when I knew that prayer was working. Supernatural, mechanical, and physical preservation. Because every time we get in that plane, I pray that over that airplane. So these are not just things that I'm telling you to do, and maybe. I know they work. They've been tried, and I know that what I'm telling you is the truth from the Word of God. So you can take dominion. Another time we went fishing. It was getting late in the evening, and we didn't have much time to fish, and so we'll just go out in the cove. And so we got out there, and I really, really wanted to catch a fish. I love to fish, but we don't get to fish very often. So I was throwing my line and, you know, doing what you're supposed to do to the worm to attract the fish. And I had pulled it in several times, and I thought, what am I doing? I've got dominion. So I you know, my husband, he's always just looking at me and shaking his head. And I said, "I take dominion over the fish in this water. I command you to bite my hook in Jesus' name." I threw it out there, and I did like this and got a hit. And my son and daughter-in-law were standing over on the dock, and they're just like, they think I'm nutty. But they see that what I'm saying has power. Okay, so begin to use that. It's like yesterday, I have a five-day forecast on my television with Hot Springs, Arkansas in it, because I come so often, I want to check the weather before I come. And, boy, yesterday, it was just really nasty. This morning, it was really nasty. We drove into town to the store to get something, and it was just, you know, foggy. And I just said, "Lord, I'm asking you to pick up. I take dominion over the wind." See, that I almost fell back into what I used to do. "Lord, I'm asking you to." But, see, he's given us dominion. He's given it to us. See, sometimes we're sitting around asking God to do things that he has given us the power, the authority, and the dominion to do. So we just need to use it. Nobody has taught us our power and our authority. If we went out today and joined a satanic church, they would bring you in and they would teach you how to start using your powers. We need to do that in the church. That's why evil seems to be more powerful than the power of God, because we haven't even been told that we have this power, even to use it against the enemy. Now, it's beginning to, you know, there are places that are beginning to talk about these things, but this should be behind it, coming from every pulpit in America, to teach the people the power that they have. That's why I wanted to share this with you. And especially, and we're going to get to that in a minute, women's issues. Okay? So, I spoke to the clouds. I spoke to the wind. I speak to the wind. Pick up. Blow this weather out and allow the sun to come out. And and we have sunshine. Even like when you have thunderstorms coming. Now, this is an area where tornadoes are prevalent. When I'm watching, weather radar comes on and it has a warning for approaching weather, well, the first couple of times I did this, I didn't feel very powerful. But I went out on my porch and I pointed to the direction that the weather was coming. I speak to that storm in the name of Jesus. I bind tornadoes. I bind hail. I bind damaging lightning, damaging wind. I put the angels around our electrical lines. I mean, listen, we could change things if we would begin to use this. Don't wait until you hear the siren that a tornado is approaching. Go out there and take dominion over that weather. Jesus did it. He was in the boat and there was a storm and he said, "Peace be still." He rebuked the winds and the weather calmed down and the disciples were like, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" But see, he's in us. We have this dominion and the authority to speak to things. Okay, I've taken it over animals. We had a horse and that horse would... We had a heavy rain. This is before I knew I could take dominion over the weather, but I was learning. But the horse, a lot of water was crossing our pasture. There was a low spot between the barn and the gate. And the horse is shut off from the barn because of the water. So he's trapped in this little strip of land by the gate, and he's running back and forth, and it's wet, he's slipping, and I'm thinking, ow, that horse is going to break a leg if he doesn't settle down. So when Mike would get home from work, he would open the gate, let the horse come out, and it would just graze and eat the grass in the yard. And so I thought, well, I'm going to run out there and open the gate, and he'll get out and eat grass and stop all this panic. Well, I opened the gate, and my horse, it was like the panic was already there. He ran out, and he's running back and forth all around the house. He's throwing his back legs up. He ran through my garden area and where the dirt was soft, and he sunk, you know, like almost up to his shoulders. And I thought, hey, what am I doing? I take dominion over you, horse. I command you to settle down and eat grass in the name of Jesus. And the horse, it was like I said, attention. That horse just stopped. I was like, wow. And he just calmly, I thought he was going to come up on the porch with me, but he stopped right at the base and started eating grass right in front of the steps. So there's going to come a time we're going to need this. So start practicing now. The first time I did it, I went outside on the porch and I was speaking to the weather, and I had a really sweet golden retriever. And so I was out there and I had my finger pointed and I'm doing all this, and the dog is like, who's she talking to? I mean, you know, Satan will make you feel stupid. Even the dog, you know, kind of made me feel a little silly because it's like, who's she talking to? He came running up there and sat down like, well, she must be talking to me. But begin to practice these things with the weather, with animals, like... every once in a while, we have these crows that will come around, and I just don't like them. They make a lot of noise, and so I'll just go out on my porch and say, I take dominion over you crows right now. I command you to get off my land. Go. Go find somewhere else. And they fly off, and they don't come back. When the termites are swarming, I take dominion over the termites. I forbid you to land on my house in Jesus' name. See? After a little while, you start, you know. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I was visiting my daughter out in West Texas, and one of her neighbors came up. It was a neighbor lady, and she stopped in front of the house. And next door, there was this demon-possessed dog that barked and 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 barked. So... if the lady hadn't been there, you know, I would have taken dominion, but I was kind of embarrassed, you know, because she didn't know. And so for a little while, I said, shut up, You know, I kept screaming at the dog. Well, they wouldn't shut up, so finally I said, excuse me, I take dominion over you. I command you to sit down and shut up. The dog shut up and sat down, and the lady looked at me. Now, this is, I was telling my brother, who is a born-again Christian, he's not quite into some of the things that I'm into just now, but eventually he will be. But I was telling him about my oldest son, who, he was my righteous child. My other two have been in rebellion. He was my righteous child, and he joined the Mormon church when he left for college. And that was really like a double whammy to me. And but God's already assured me he's going to come out of that. So I'm waiting. And but he was going to give a talk in his Mormon church. And he invited his dad and me to come. And I was still wounded at the time. I would cry every time I thought about it. I just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And my mother was saying, you know, you need to be there. That's your son, and you need to be there. And I just couldn't even discuss it. So I had left the office, and it was in the wintertime, and it was dark. It was about 5:30, but it was already dark. And I realized that I had not even prayed about this. And so I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what would you have me do? I haven't even talked to you about this, but I can't see me going, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. Well, I'm driving, and between the windshield and the dash, or between the steering wheel and the windshield, it was like he dropped down this transparent, because I could still see the road, a picture, like a poster. I could see the inside of that church. I've never been in it, and I wasn't even sure that was the inside of the church. I just saw him at the pulpit, and Mike and I were sitting about on the third row, right in the middle. And so, and I was fine in the picture. And I said, okay, Lord, I can do this. So I went home, told Mike what happened, and he's like, and I said, really, really? So we went. We got to the church, and it looked exactly like was in my picture. It was three sections, a section over here and an aisle, a section in the middle, an aisle, and a section over here. Well, they brought us into the church and took us straight down the left side of the wall and sat us back about two-thirds of the way. And the whole time I was telling him, like, we're not supposed to be sitting here. This is not, something's not right. We're not supposed to be sitting here. And he said, honey, just sit down. So I sat down, and a little later, the church was packed. That's why we had to sit, you know, towards the back. A little later, this lady walked across the front of the church, went to the third row, and she leans over and says something, and they're all looking at each other like this, you know. And then they all got up and exited out of that row, and the lady motioned for us to come. So it was, you know, there were quite a few of us because the grandparents and brothers and sisters and everything. So we ended up sitting in the third row, front and center. So I was telling my brother about this, and he said, man, I bet Mike thinks you're a witch. And I thought, now, why would you say that? You can understand the power of darkness, but you don't understand the power of God. And isn't that true? A lot of people think anything supernatural. Well, a lot of people think anything supernatural is all God. And a lot of times it's not. But it was funny to me that he immediately said, I bet Mike thinks you're a witch. Why? You can understand that kind of power, but you can't understand a word of knowledge from God. So, that's how the devil is. He counterfeits those things of God. The world of darkness has everything that the kingdom of light has except God and Jesus and the true power. I mean, he has power. Don't kid yourself. He's got power. But we have power over all the power of the enemy. That's what we're not sure about. But we do have power over all the power of the enemy. Okay, so I want to look at Isaiah 53, because this is important to this. And this is, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ right now at this season. And this is talking about, this is the prophetic word about Christ, his sacrifice, and what it was going to do for us. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, and like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." In other words, Jesus appeared to be just a man, just like everybody else. There was no glowing halo over him, you know, for us to know that he was the Son of God. He was just going to be man, but God in man. In verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." That's Jewish people saw him as weak. He didn't defend himself, and they had no understanding of this. They thought they were looking for a victorious warrior of a leader. And so this was kind of shocking that he seemed stricken and smitten. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So I want to look at some of these words. Sorrow means worrisome labor or pain. See, there's the childbirth thing. He took that. He took our sorrows. Anger, grief, hurt, displeasure, to make sorry. So anything that has made you sorry. Vexation, which is confusion or uproar, a grasping after. These all are under the word sorrow. So do you have something in your life that's worrisome, laborious, or painful? Are you angry? Do you have anger? Grief? Grief is a big one. We have a heavy heart, a heavy countenance. We are sad about something, grievous. Are you hurt? Do you hurt? Do you have pain? Is it physical pain, emotional pain? It can even be spiritual pain. Displeasure of any kind, vexation, which can happen in your body or in your mind. Jesus took that for us. He experienced that on the cross. The word born, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs." He accepted them, voluntarily took them for us. It means carried away, took away. He received them. And received them, you know, I was going to say gladly. He knew what he was going to suffer. And even when he prayed before he went to the cross, he said, "Lord," that was the human element in him. "If there's any way that this cup can pass from me, that I don't have to do this. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So he took that. He received everything that happened to him, he received it on our behalf. He took it upon himself. The word griefs, it says, he has borne our griefs. The word griefs means weakness. It doesn't say what kind of weakness. You may have a weakness in your body, a weakness in your mind, a weakness in your spirit. He bore that. Afflictions. And that word affliction means any cause of continued pain or stress. That's what afflictions. If you are afflicted, it means you have some kind of continued pain or stress. He bore that for you. See, we know that Jesus took our sins, but he did so much more. And it's time for us to receive all that he did for us so that we can be made whole. anything that causes sorrow, anxiety. It can mean wounds. Are you wounded? Has someone wounded you? Jesus bore those wounds for you. So I know it grieves His heart when we live or put up with wounds, when people wound us. That's what it means to lay it at the foot of the cross. Give it to Jesus. You hear all these, little cliches. Give it to Jesus. Lay it at the foot of His cross. Lay it on the altar. Pin it to the cross. All these things that we hear people tell us that sound so simple, it's almost like a person, and I've been in that place. I suffered a depression for 4 years. And so I know what it's like to be wounded, to be grieved, to be sorrowful, to be afflicted and have weakness and anxiety and the wounds. If we don't let Jesus deal with our wounds, we're just going to be a wounded person, and they just pile up, and they keep us. That's Satan's way of keeping us from being effective for Jesus, to allow Jesus to live in us and through us. So if He took that for us, why would we want to hold on to it? It can be mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. The word wounded means, it says He was wounded for our transgressions. See, He took the punishment for our sin. He took the punishment for it. So we don't have to be punished. Some of us punish our own selves because of things that we've done. But He took that. So let's let Him take that today. Let's willingly release these things to Jesus, and so that we can live that abundant life that we know is for us, but we don't see many living that abundant life. These are the reasons why. Wounded means to wound, to break, as using an opening wedge. Do you know what an opening wedge is? Yeah, you could have this big, we split wood. My husband, he used to split it with an axe and an opening wedge until he got a gasoline-powered wood splitter. Those are much nicer. But an opening wedge is you take this, a big block of wood, and you whack it with an axe, and it makes a little split. And then you take this, it's shaped like like this, flat on top, and you put that into that crack, and then you whack that with a sledgehammer, and it splits the thing open. Not that easily. Sometimes you got to whack it, so it's hard work. But anyway, that's what He was wounded for our transgressions, as if like an opening wedge. His heart, he was wounded. His body was wounded. It means to profane. And they did profane Jesus when He was on the cross. They mocked Him. They tormented Him when He was on the cross. It means defiled as something unholy. That's how He was treated. It means violated or treated with irreverence. Now see, all of these things have happened to us. All of these things that He took are things that happened to us along life's way. But He was wounded for our transgressions. And our transgressions is rebellion and sin. And He took that for the whole world. Then it says that He was bruised for our iniquities. Bruised means beat to pieces, crushed, humbled, oppressed, smitten, and punished. They beat Him. He was like beat to pieces. He was malformed at the end of it. It was so horrendous. Our iniquities are our evils, our moral perversity, our mischief in the areas where we fell short. He took that for us. He took those wounds and the beating. That was what was supposed to happen to all of us. But He did it. so we wouldn't have to suffer that. And then it says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement for our peace. Anything that has disturbed your peace, he took the chastisement of it upon himself. So that there is nothing, and it sounds like an easy thing, but it's not an easy thing to allow him to take all of these things on your behalf. Sounds easy. Oh, Jesus took care of that on the cross. But it is a difficult thing to receive and really know the extent that he suffered for us. And we look at it maybe because it happened 2,000 years ago. We weren't there then, you know, that he did this. And so it really doesn't have a personal effect on us. But I want you to really think about this because it is as fresh today as it was then. Your realizing it makes it fresh today. His crucifixion for you and for me, for all of us. You know, it says that he was, he died for the sins of the whole world. So, you know, there is a doctrine of demons out there that says the whole world is going to go to heaven because Jesus took care of it. Well, they haven't read all the rest of the Bible because there's an if. If you believe on him, then this applies to you. You know, Jesus, I used to think about this. It says that he became the stumbling stone, you know, the rock of offense. And there's a doctrine of demons that says all religions lead to the same God. That's a lie. If all the religions had the same God, Jesus would be at the center of all of them. Jesus becomes the rock of offense, the stumbling stone. It says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And that word healed means mended, cured, made thoroughly whole. Thoroughly whole. So see these wounds that we have. These afflictions that we have, the weaknesses, mental torments, physical torments, emotional torments. It doesn't matter what has happened to you. Jesus Christ has paid the price for it so that you can be free from the effects of those things that have happened to you. Romans 5:19, I'm going to read that. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. See, you're not a sinner because you sinned. You were made sinners by what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. Before you ever took your first breath, you had the stamp of sin upon your life. Every person who was born after Adam and Eve sinned were born doomed, and in need of a Savior. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for being our Savior. And, you know, I say that, it sometimes, you know, there is a prayer that King David prayed that he would not sin. He said, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sin. And I didn't know what that was. Now, I just said he did that for us, and Lord, I thank you for all of us. But is there someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? I don't want to be presumptuous and just think that everybody has made that step in their life, that commitment to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, not just as the Savior of the world because he died for the sins of the whole world, but your very own personal Savior. If you haven't, then do it today. When we recognize what he did for us and we acknowledge who he is and we receive what he's done and we give him lordship of our lives, then you've entered in to the kingdom. Lordship is important. Many people have made the invitation for Jesus to come in, but they've never given him lordship. They still lord over their lives. And that's not to make you feel guilty. It's just to make you realize that if you haven't given him lordship, that's an important part of salvation. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Don't you love that? Because there's nothing you can do to become righteous. You have to receive his righteousness. It is that when we talk about the armor of God, it's the breastplate of righteousness. That's Jesus. He is our righteousness. Now, after you are made the righteousness, then there should be a desire to live righteously. Okay. So there's nothing you can do to make your own self righteous. Apart from what Jesus Christ did for you, there is no righteousness. Those who try to be righteous on their own, it says in, I'm not sure I have this in my notes, but it's God looks at that kind of righteousness, self-righteousness, as filthy rags. And that used to be offensive to me when I was not saved because, you know, we all think we're pretty good. I was a good girl. I was obedient. You know, so why should me being good, minding my mom and dad and everything, make me a filthy rag? But I didn't understand what it was talking about. But I do now. We cannot make ourselves righteous. And just doing good is not the requirement. Righteousness is. And apart from Jesus, we have no righteousness. Okay, we've already looked at Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the law, I have realized now that this is not so much the Mosaic law it's talking about. It's talking about the law of sin and death. We received a curse. The curse that came on woman, let me show you the other part of that. After they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it said, let's look at Genesis 2:16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. See, sin, through their disobedience, sin came and death came. There was a death curse that we all received through that sin. Ye shall surely die. Did Adam and Eve drop dead? No. Let me give you the definition of die. This is Strong's Concordance definition. It means worthy of death. It means, and Webster says of die, it means to stop living or to subside gradually. Now that is the curse of death that we live under. Because from the minute you're born, you're going through a process of life, but you begin dying because of this curse. And I want to break that today. The curse of death that came upon all of us. And that definition to subside gradually, I want you to think about it. That's what aging is all about. We were not meant to subside gradually. We were made after the likeness of God, and He is an eternal being. We were supposed to have eternal life from the very beginning. But that's what Jesus came to restore. He has abolished that curse of death. But see, it's just like He died for the sins of the whole world. So does that mean that we stop growing old? No. But if you know about it, then you can come to the Word and you can claim it. And I'm not talking about just flippantly name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. That's what somebody described me as one time. Oh, you're one of those faith people, those name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. And I said, hey, I want everything that I'm supposed to have. And if you don't go to the Word and claim it for yourself, you're not going to have it. And if that's what a faith person is, then thank you. I'm a faith person. because I believe what the Word says. And if it says that that word die means to subside gradually, and what does the Word say in Psalm 91? That He renews our youth as the eagle. Well, what does that mean? Just what it says. He renews our youth. But the world will tell you, you're going to start getting wrinkles, and your skin's going to be dry, and your hair's going to do this, and your, I mean, the world is full of bad news. That's really all they have is bad news. But the Word has good news. It's the good news of the gospel. And so I say, let's don't subside gradually. It says in Romans 8:11, let me just look it up. I could quote it, but I don't want to read it. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, and that means give life to, your mortal, that's the part of your body that is able to die, your flesh. Give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, then your youth should be being renewed as the eagle. But we haven't really been taught that. We go to church, but when we leave church, we live like the world. We still expect all these things that they tell you. You know, your doctor would tell you, if he was going to sit down and say, well, when you get to, your body's going to start experiencing some changes when you're about 11, 12, 13. And then when you have babies, your body's going to experience some more change. And then as you grow older, become menopausal, you're going to have some more changes. And it's just all downhill. But it doesn't have to be. So I've begun to, like when I take my bath, you know, and I take my shower, I speak life to my body. I bind and break the curse of death off my body. I am not gradually subsiding, but my youth is being renewed as the eagle. And I speak to, you know, I've repented, Lord, for all the years that I lived and allowed death to work unhindered in my life. I repent of that. No longer, no more. I speak resurrection life to everything that has gradually subsided that I didn't, while I was living and expecting the things that the world said. Everything they said is true. If you receive it. If you don't know anything different, that's all you can do is receive what the world says. But I'm here to tell you, young ladies, that you don't have to grow old and weak and tired and arthritic. And, you know, I've even had people, I had an injury to a finger, and this friend of mine said, well, that's where your arthritis is going to start. That's the world's understanding. If you injure a joint, you're going to have arthritis in it. Well, no, I'm not going to have arthritis in that finger. I speak healing to it in Jesus' name. But you have to be careful not to receive those word-spoken curses from even your well-meaning friends and family. Okay, so this is serious stuff. Now, John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Being made free is different than being set free. So you can set something free and go back and put it in a cage. But when you're made free, nobody can take you and put you in a cage or make you their slave. You are free, made free. And Jesus Christ has made the truth that Jesus Christ has given us in the Word will make us free. You have been redeemed from the curse that was put upon woman. So those are the things that I want to deal with today. I don't know what kind of afflictions you have in your body, or, you know, it's like when you get older, people just say, oh, well, I'm having one of those senior moments. That means you can't remember stuff. No, I'm not having a senior moment. I just can't think of it right now, but I will. You know, No, I'm not going to have senior moments. And we say these things to be cute and funny, but it's the Satan's way of bringing curses into your life. So be careful what you joke about. Okay, so let me grab my pen. Okay, I have some things written down here, a list that when I pray over you, I'm going to come against these things. But y'all can help me with some of the things that you may be experiencing that I don't have on my list, because I want to come against those. Okay, childbirth. Now, when I had my babies, it was laborious, no doubt. I mean, it takes a little work to get that little booger out. And some women will experience hemorrhoids. I didn't have hemorrhoids with my childbirth, but a lot of people have. Bladder problems. I didn't have any of these things. But some women, after they have their babies, they will have, I don't know, their bladders drop or something. I don't. They have bladder suspensions, or maybe they've had hysterectomies, and that causes things on the inside to start filling in that void. And so I have down here hemorrhoids and bladder problems. Some women can't carry a baby, so they have miscarriage in their lives or infertility, cesarean births, premature births, cramps with the menstrual cycle. Never really had cramps. I had migraine headaches with my menstrual cycle. And these, there are some spiritual roots to these things that I found out later were my problem. But cramps, bloating, headaches, PMS, extreme irritability, troublesome periods. Some women have excessive bleeding, irregular periods, female problems such as cysts in the ovaries or breast, in your breast, tumors, ovarian cysts or tumors in the uterus, hysterectomies, menopausal problems, hot flashes. Now, see, when people said, oh, you're going to start having hot flashes. And I thought, well, I don't have to have hot flashes. But, you know, they did try to come. And so what I would do is before I would go to bed at night, I would make a declaration to the enemy that I have been redeemed from the curse of the woman. Hot flashes are part of the curse. And so I bind hot flashes from happening in the name of Jesus. Hot flashes, I bind you and break your power off of my life. Now, did I have hot flashes? A few, but I didn't have them like most people that wake up soaking wet, having to change their gowns and the sheets. And I didn't have any of that. But it you know, to take dominion over these things, we have dominion. It says over all the earth. Well, we're made out of dirt, so that's earth. Right? So we can take dominion over this. This is our earth right here. So we can take dominion over those things. Fatigue. Some women are just tired all the time. They have no energy. Mood swings, just like PMS almost. What about women's cancers? Cancers of the breast, the cervix, the uterus, ovaries. There's all kinds of cancers of your organs. Doesn't necessarily have to be a female thing. Maybe you resented being born as a woman. For a long time, I resented the fact that I was born a woman. I thought the men had it made. I didn't understand the valuable and the precious place that a woman has. We don't understand that God didn't say that we were the weaker sex, but he did tell our men to treat us as the weaker sex, because God wants to protect us, and he's given us husbands to protect us, to be our head and our covering. And I used to not like that. I used to think I could have been a better man than my husband was. I had to repent of that. God gave me he's a good man. He's very kind and sweet. He's patient. Thank goodness, because I was not patient. this has been after years of making ourselves miserable with stuff, but now we're allowing God to create in us who He created us to be, and things are a lot better. The second 30 years is going to be a lot better than the first 30 years. Maybe you have inherited some curses, like your mother and your grandmother had it, and now it's, you know, you're having symptoms of it in your life. You don't have to have those things. Those are generationally inherited curses that can be broken. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's Romans 8:16. And what that really became so real to me, because after I got saved, something very interesting happened with my parents. It was like when I realized that I was a child of God and that God was now my father, that was real to me. And then I was with my parents, and it was like, wow, they're not like mom and dad anymore. We were on a level plane, even though they will always be my parents, and I will honor them as my parents in obedience to the word. But no longer were they my head. I went through a very confusing time in my life because I was married and I had children and I was 30 years old and I was still trying to be mom and dad's obedient little daughter. That was confusing to me. I had children of my own. And if I was out past 10 o'clock, my mother would fuss at me like I was out in her car past curfew. And that was kind of it was like, wait a minute. When do I ever get to be grown up? You know, it was a confusing time. And so when God did that in me the next time I was with Him, that confusion was totally gone, because now they are my brother and sister in Christ. They birthed me. I honor them as my parents. But God is my Father now. And my family tree got simplified to God the Father. So those generational things that came down through my daddy's bloodline and my mother's bloodline, in my estimation, I wasn't even a part of that anymore. I've got the blood of Jesus Christ running through my veins, and God is my Father, so my DNA is different now. And I live pretty divinely healthy. When God said, I'm your healer, I said, okay. Then there came a day that He said, not only am I your healer, but I can keep you. I said, okay. And my husband and my children too. And that was the end of sickness in our house. He is our all in all, really. And it's a growing process as you come into these different knowledges to allow Him to become that in your life, that you will begin to experience a different kind of life. That's what He wants for us. But we still need to break those generational curses. It's not an automatic thing. We must appropriate these things. Okay, so as you read your Bible, I want you to begin to start jotting down some scriptures that, until it gets really into your spirit, you can use. I call them bullets. You know, like, okay, I'm not going to have, well, let's just say, as you get older, people say, well, there'll come a time you'll start forgetting where you put, you'll leave one room and go to the other room. You won't even remember what you were leaving the room to get and all these kind of things. So I wrote down some bullets, I call them. I'm going to load my spiritual gun. And when those things are said to me, or even if the devil brings them to me, because, you know, you don't need someone else to do it, he'll come and tell you that. See, you're that age, remember? This is going to start happening to you. So you have to have some spiritual bullets ready to attack him with, as Jesus did. It is written. So 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for ye have the mind of Christ. Do you think Jesus had Alzheimer's? No. Of course, he was young, but still, he didn't have any mental problems. So we have the mind of Christ. Oh, you're getting forgetful. You can't remember anything. excuse me, it is written, I have the mind of Christ. So sometimes I just pray for myself. I activate that mind of Christ. You know, if I find myself being confused or whatever, I just stop and say, Lord, right now I activate the mind of Christ. Your word says I have the mind of Christ. I activate that now in Jesus' name. And I don't have confusion. I don't have forgetfulness. Start speaking, taking dominion over your bodies. I'll tell you one that came in pretty handy when I came up here. At home, my normal routine is, so Mike and I get up early. He's got to go to work. While he's in the shower, we have coffee together first. Then he gets in the shower. I go pull out whatever he's going to wear that day, and I iron it. And then while he's getting dressed, I fix his breakfast. And then he leaves for work, and then I get my second cup of coffee and my Bible and have my quiet time. Huh? My second cup of coffee. Not a second husband. My second cup of coffee, and I sit down. And that is usually when I'm not on the road or anything, that nature calls. It's time to go to the bathroom. Okay, so I go to the restroom, very regular, got great plumbing, no constipation, no hemorrhoids, none of that. Okay, so then I start coming to Lake Hamilton, and we are here at 6 o'clock in the morning for our early morning prayer meeting. So the first few times that I was involved in that, nature calls became a bit of a distraction, because here you are standing up here praying, and you need to go to the bathroom. That's very distracting. And so one morning it occurred to me, what am I doing? While I was having my first cup of coffee, I just took dominion over my bowels. I command you to empty before I leave this house in the name of Jesus. And sure enough, I go to the bathroom before I came up here. See, so I'm telling you, you can take dominion over your body. If you're constipated, my little grandbaby, I don't know what her deal was, but she didn't like to go to the potty. She would tinkle in the potty, but to do the other, it was like she would just hold it for days and days and days and days. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, I was sorry Dr. Noel wasn't around, so he was a retired pediatrician, so I could have asked him, what's up with that? What can I do for her, you know? But it got to be a bit of a problem because, you know, they become impacted and they get a really bad stomach ache. And so I began to teach her how to take dominion over her little body. I did it for her at first. She would, Grammy, come pray for me. So I'd go in there and I'd just put my hand on her little back and on her tummy, and I would take dominion over those little bowels. I speak to those bowels right now. I speak to that to soften, to come out without pain, in Jesus' name. And then a little while later, she would go to the bathroom. So I'm teaching her, you know, how to take dominion over her body. Now that, you know, that was last year, it's not a problem anymore, thank goodness. She's learned how to just relax, you know. I don't know what the deal was. But anyway, that's gone, praise God. But we can take dominion over our bodies. Like right before I came up here, I had a little bit of loose bowels. And I thought, okay, now wait a minute. I'm going to be driving to Arkansas. And so I thought, what am I doing? I take dominion over these bowels. I speak death to any viral or bacterial infection in my body that would come to make me sick at this time in Jesus' name. I speak healing to my body in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease and desist. Went on, everything was fine. See, before that, I would have made sure I brought some Lamotil or, you know, so that I wouldn't have problems. But we don't have to do those things. That's what the world does. But as we can take dominion over our bodies. Okay, so let's hear some of your things that we want to put on this list that we want to come against. Y'all can just shout them out. Well, wait a minute. There was a man in the room. Failing eyesight. Okay. Now you see how that diminishing, gradually diminishing. That's what presbyopia, and I mean, we have an optical shop, so you know, nearsightedness, farsightedness, needing bifocals and all of that. cataracts. See, that's another thing they'll tell you. Well, when you get to be about anywhere from 55 to 70, you'll have cataracts. Well, everybody doesn't have to have cataracts. And I don't believe any of us should have to have. Jesus suffered cataracts on the cross. Why do we want to have it? Okay, cataracts, hearing loss. That's a good one. That's another one that happens when you, they say, when you get older. Just aches and pains, arthritis, diabetes. See, that's another one that they'll say, you know, you either have diabetes type 1 or type 2. See, that's a generationally inherited thing that can be broken off. Doesn't mean just because daddy had diabetes and his daddy had diabetes, doesn't mean your children have to have diabetes. In fact, right before the Spiritual Warfare Conference in Beaumont, I had gone to the, had stopped at Walmart, and there was a young man standing in line, and he said, "Is this where you get prescription medicine?" And I said, "I think it is." And he said, "I got kidney stones." I said, "You do? That's terrible." He said, "Yeah. Have you ever had them?" I said, "No, and I don't want them either." He said, "Well, they're very painful." I said, "I've heard they are." And he said, I said, "Did your mother or daddy have kidney stones?" He said, "Yeah, my mom had them and her dad had them. And my girlfriend said, I guess if we have babies, they'll have kidney stones." I said, "Well, but that's what the world does, see." I said, "So how would you like to get rid of those kidney stones?" I said, if you could get rid of them, would you want to get rid of them?" He said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Okay, in the name of Jesus, I bind and break the generationally inherited curse of kidney stones off of your life. I speak to those kidney stones right now. I command them to dissolve in your body and pass out of your body without pain in the name of Jesus." I said, "Now, go home and tell your girlfriend that you don't have to have kidney stones. And if y'all marry and have babies, they don't have to have kidney stones. Because the blood, because Jesus suffered kidney stones on the cross. So you didn't have to." Isn't that cool? He said, "Thank you." I said, "Your girlfriend's going to tell you not to listen to that crazy lady, but you can listen." But anyway, I probably will never see that kid again. But I prayed after I left there. I said, "Lord, you know, you healed them all. And healing is a great evangelical thing. Everyone he healed wanted to follow him. I'm asking you to grant that. And that his life will never be the same." So, okay, so we have arthritis. What else? Age spots, yeah. Okay, just slowing down. Okay, breast cancer. Okay. Okay, hold on. I'm not taking shorthand here. Okay. What was that one? I got that one.
Dementia.
Okay. Loss of muscle tone. Is that like flabbiness? Weight gain. About that loss of muscle tone, I have been speaking to the connective tissue, you know, because that's what causes things to break down and get flabby and saggy. And so I just, you know, it's a gradually diminishing thing in our bodies as the curse of death has been working in our life. That needs to be at the top. And so I've been speaking resurrection life to those connective tissues, you know, that hold the muscle to the tendons and, yeah, to the bone and everything. Okay. Osteoporosis. Okay. We'll just put all bone defects. Clumsiness. That can be a generationally inherited curse. Accidents are. Broken bones and stitches and trips to the emergency room and all that. runs in families. What else? What about teeth? Teeth problems. See, decay, that is a slow diminishing false teeth or just losing your teeth. Okay. Now, anytime you have, like, anything that is viral or bacterial, like just something that comes into your body, or a fungus, any of those kind of things, you can speak death to those in the name of Jesus. Oh, that creep upon the earth? It's creepy. But let's see. Oh, my son had a wart, you know, in what Frank said the other night, that we have to take responsibility, you know, for our deliverance and for our healing and things, not to always look to somebody else to do it for us. So this little son had a wart, and this is my oldest son, perfectionist. He's everything I used to be before God changed me. I have a real soft spot for him because he's so much like me, I used to be, that it makes me sad. But God got me through it. He'll get him through it. But anyway, he had a wart when he was about 8 years old, and he's a perfectionist, so that won't do. Can't have a blemish on the skin. And so he had a little friend down the road that had warts all over, elbows, knees, you know, just was warty. And so Wade gets this wart, and he wants me, the little boy's mother would take him to the doctor to get him burned off. He says, Mom, would you take me to get this burned off? And I said, well, Wade, why would you want to go to the doctor and get that burned off? Did you know that warts is a virus? You can't burn off a wart. It's just going to come up somewhere else. They're going to spread. I said, why don't we let Jesus heal you? Heal the wart. I said, now I can take you and let him burn it off, which is going to hurt, or we can pray and get rid of the wart. He said, okay, let's pray. So I spoke death to the wart from the root out. I cursed the virus that causes warts, you know, prayed over it. So the next day, Mama, my wart, it looks bigger. So I'm like, okay, well, let's pray for the wart again. You know, I'm trying to give him peace about it. So after 3 or 4 days of this, I said, Lord, what am I going to do with him? And God said, make the wart his responsibility. I said, I like that. So I told him, I said, now, Wade, you've heard me pray for that wart. Every time you look at that wart, every time that wart bothers you, you just speak to it like I've been speaking to it. You do it. It's your wart, not my wart, but you do it. I've done it. Now you do it. So about 3 or 4 days later, the wart fell off. And I mean, you couldn't even tell where the wart had been. I would have thought there would have been a hole or something, but no, it's just, I mean, because that's what I prayed. I commanded that wart to dry up and fall off and leave his skin like it was the day he was born. So be creative in your prayers. Okay. Anything else? Yes? Fibroid-like tumors and things. Okay, up there with cataracts, I'm also going to put macular degeneration. My mother-in-law has that. And about 11 years ago is when it started setting in, and you know, I immediately just said, well, we can pray for that. Now, she's a nurse, and so she knows too much. See, there's God said that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But there's also knowledge that can hurt you because it's incorrect knowledge. It's the knowledge of the world. And so I said, no, really, we can get rid of that. Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And she, Carla, nothing can cure macular degeneration. And I said, okay. I mean, if they won't let you pray, what can you do? I pray for her still, but she can't receive it. And Jesus had the same trouble with his family. He really did. You know, he could do no miracles in his own hometown for their unbelief. So don't feel like a failure when people won't let you pray for him, because Jesus had the same problem. Just love him still. I drive for her now. She can't see, so I'm driving for her. But I still don't like it that she has macular degeneration, because she doesn't have to if she could receive. Okay, anything else? Yeah, mood swings. Well, yeah, that would go under that. Being moody. And see, we're talking about physical ones here. we could probably do a list six times this long for spiritual ailments and afflictions, which you handle, you do those the same way. Actually, I'm just going to say this, like women's cancers, they can either be generationally inherited or could possibly, Henry Wright has a book, and he finds that women with women's cancers have broken relationships with a close female friend, relative, mother, sister, good girlfriend, you know, those kind of things. Okay, but it's 3:10, so I want to start by binding and breaking the spirit, the curse of death that came on all of us through Adam and Eve. I bind that curse of death right now in the name of Jesus. I break your power and I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. That curse of death, you go. We break your power. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has abolished death. I speak life. In place of that death, I just speak life into each one of you, into your innermost being, that spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I speak life. I come against all cataracts, all diseases of the eye right now that has come through diminishing, a slow diminishing, as in the word die. I bind it and break it in Jesus' name. Nearsightedness, farsightedness, presbyopia, cataracts, macular degeneration, all diseases of the eye, go in Jesus' name. I come against hearing loss. Lord, right now I apply the blood of Jesus to everyone's ears, their physical ears. And Lord, I speak to their spiritual ears to be opened. I come against spiritual deafness and dumbness in the name of Jesus. And I say, ears, hear, physical and spiritual ears. I speak healing to all ears. Arthritis, I bind you and break your power. Rheumatoid arthritis, swelling in the joints, pain in the joints, all arthritis, all joint ailments. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. If you've had pain in your fingers, start moving your fingers. I just speak healing right now to all the joints, the knees, the shoulders, the elbows, the hands, the feet, the neck, the shoulders, the hips, every joint in the body. I bind arthritis and break its power and command it to go. I speak to age spots, those unsightly, I have them on my hands. I don't like them either. I'm real freckly, but I don't like the age spots. Lord, I speak to the pigment in my skin and in anybody's skin who has age spots. Speak to the pigment in your skin to be dispersed right there in the name of Jesus. We come against age spots. Lord, your word says it is written that our youth is being renewed as the eagle. I come against the slowing down, just losing your energy. In the name of Jesus, I bind that slowing down and losing your energy. In the name of Jesus, I break your power and command you to go. And I speak vitality into your bones and into your muscles, into your minds. Lord, I just thank you that you are renewing our youth as the eagle. I come against all cancers. Women's cancers, breast cancers, uterine cancer, cervical cancer, ovarian cancer, and cancers of all the organs in the body. All cancer in the name of Jesus. We break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Cysts, go. Tumors, go in the name of Jesus. I come against hair loss. Hair loss. Lord, your word says that our hair is our glory. Now, Satan, you take your hands off of our hair, and we command you to go. We break hair loss in the name of Jesus. I speak to dementia, all problems in the mind, Alzheimer's, dementia, forgetfulness, strokes in the name of Jesus, all disorders in the brain. I speak healing to our brains, our minds in the name of Jesus. It is written, we have the mind of Christ. And Lord, I just activate the mind of Christ in every one of us right now in Jesus' name. All forgetfulness, go. All loss of memory, anything having to do with the mind, we bind you and break your power. I come against a loss of muscle tone. Lord, that too, I thank you that you are renewing our youth as the eagle. I thank you that our muscles are healthy, our muscles are firm, and you got to cooperate with this too. You need to do some exercise to keep your muscles from getting stiff and weak. I come against excessive weight gain. It is said by the world that as you grow older, you're going to add 10 pounds every year, whatever their little formula is. Now, I bind that lie right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we eat to live and not live to eat. And I thank you that our bodies will process our food properly. Lord, I thank you that we will always bless everything that goes into our mouth. In the name of Jesus, we break off all demonic weight gain in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you that they would bring their hurts that they've been anesthetizing with comfort foods. Lord, that they will begin to bring those things to you and let you deal with them instead of trying to feed it a cookie. I come against osteoporosis and all bone defects. All bone defects. I speak to the marrow of the bone right now. I speak healing to the marrow of the bones. Strong bones. We have strong bones in the name of Jesus. I come against clumsiness, loss of balance, inner ear problems. Lord, anything that would cause us to lose our balance and stumble and fall and be dizzy and disoriented in the name of Jesus, I break your power and command you to go now in Jesus' name. It is written that we have feet like hinds' feet. Lord, our family tree has been simplified to you, and we know that you do not have inner ear problems and balance problems. So we just receive that from you right now. I just bless us with perfect balance and chasing that thing. Okay, I come against loss of teeth, the spirit of death in our teeth. I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. I come against gum diseases, cavities, rot. In the name of Jesus, I speak. We have teeth, it says in the Word, like a freshly shorn sheep, nice and white, healthy teeth. In the name of Jesus, I come against fibroid tumors, all fibroid tumors. I come against just lumps. You know, maybe they're not a fibroid, but sometimes we just get a lump or a bump or a spot. I come against everything that is not supposed to be on our bodies right now. I bind you and break your power. I command you to get off of our bodies in Jesus' name. And you're going to have to be proactive when something comes up in your body. No, this is not supposed to be there. I curse you in the name of Jesus. I apply the blood of Jesus to it. Get off my body. And mood swings. Lord, I thank you that you're not a moody person. I thank you, Lord, that we have your spirit and that we have your disposition, Lord. I ask you to create your disposition in each one of us. Lord, create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. Lord, the fruits of your spirit. I just bless every one of us with the fruits of your spirit of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. And Lord, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, when we find something in the word that we want, let us be quick to claim it. Let us be quick to believe it. Let us be quick to receive it from you and then appropriate it to our lives. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Go in peace and be in good health in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.